Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 77. This week we sit down with my brother Jimmy Wong, one of the greatest magicians, magic card players of our time. They should just call themselves magicians. I don't know why they don't do that. Anyway, Jimmy's gotten really big into magic. It's a problem. We talk about it. We talk about his history of addictive personalities to nerdy properties. We get into it a little bit. It's a good podcast. They talk about, man, Vegas, magic. It's a little bit of something for everyone this week. This week also is brought to you by Sherry's Berries. That's Berries.com. You can go over there, use the promo code FACERocker, and hook yourself up with some rad giant chocolate dipped strawberries for Mother's Day or for yourself. I ain't gonna judge you. I like chocolate dipped strawberries, they're fantastic. Anyway, enough of this. On to the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to yet another Face Rocker Podcast, coming in hard, strong, and fast today, because to my left, we have the unstoppable Jimmy Wong.
I'm unstoppable. Nice.
And, as usual, Matt Arnold, Des Dolly to my right.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. We're trying to get a little more energy from last time, which is why I started off so strong, but it's very difficult to keep up, I noticed. Jimmy.
It's not 7:30 a.m.
That's true.
It's 5:30 a.m. We're doing it anyways.
Jimmy, as I'm you may know, as the proprietor of the world's most popular magic podcast, The Command Zone.
Is that true,
How
Jimmy?
Did that happen?
Second most.
You took over our website.
It's
That's what happens when we don't have any content. It just becomes a magic podcast site.
If you were to take any random person on the street, but hey, what is Rocket Jump? They would answer, oh, the home of the world's biggest magic podcast.
Magic Podcast Network.
Network, yeah.
Because two podcasts.
I will say this about people that play the game, and just in general, people that like to play any kind of competitive or just in, like, strategic kind of game, they're all very intelligent people. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to have them around.
What are you saying
fans.
About our audience,
yeah,
Jimmy?
No,
you dissing our dudes?
We all pledged.
Where did that sentence come from, though?
No, no, no. But didn't we all pledge for the VGHS board game? Like, everyone listening to this podcast is also an intelligent person, because we're all the same kind of
good save psych. But real quick, I just want to say though that you and Josh, like, every time I come home, and you guys don't know this, every time I come home, I'm like, oh, long day at work, I just want to take a bath, hit a bomb, go to bed. You know what I mean?
Hit a bath bomb.
This is a little quick side note to old Benji Dolly podcast. We were like, Benji, figure out someone we can talk to at Lush. Because I don't want to keep paying $6 for these bath bombs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I rep hard for these bombs.
That's the most.
An actor I worked with, his wife is an employee of Lush. And
what
she,
kind of employee?
Like,
the one that gets a discount?
C level?
Called the M level manager.
Manager. Ooh.
Them come from discounts.
I love the bath bombs, but they're expensive.
I don't know discounts.
I'm a fan of that facial toner, but that's like a $50 bottle.
Yeah, free.
Whoa. I haven't tried it.
Oh, it's good stuff. I'm telling you guys. You don't know anything about Lush until you take a bath bomb bath, and then you get out and you miss the toner.
Straight up
the rose water.
I'm sorry,
everybody. Toner.
Straight up 18% of all our podcasts talk about our baths.
Well, I know.
Really quick, have you tried?
I haven't taken a bath in months.
Your bath melts?
Melts
straight up.
They added bath melts? That's the best.
It sounds like candy.
Bomb. That's
it
right.
It's like something you put in your mouth.
But you are grown ass men. Talking about bath melts.
Your skin turns into
it's
just
called relaxation.
Velvet.
It's called
it
relaxation.
You have to find
it's all it's about the finer things.
A
it's
rare resource in this day and age.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was gonna say, I come home and like most of the time, Jimmy and Josh are there marathoning through podcast sessions. I swear, I think Jimmy has more time behind the mic than just about anybody I know with the amount of raw volume
of
podcasts.
I never can see Josh anymore. I should just come by so I can see Josh.
Silky, smooth voice. What? Oh, yes. Josh is very busy at work.
Yeah.
And it sounds like his job is fascinating. I don't know how much of it we can disclose. But
Probably none.
He is an editor, and he is editing trailers for some cool stuff.
For the industry.
For the industry. Big things.
Yeah. Good dude. Anyway, so Jimmy,
is it hard to schedule with him? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, I'm just talking in general. I'm just thinking about Josh at his job. Yeah. And well, it's cool because podcast is like an escape for both of us because it's about a game specifically.
Right.
So it's really fun to like talk about something else for an hour and then mm-hmm. like,
so Jimmy, you've been
off.
I know that you've been talking a lot, but I want to just get into this a little bit. I know you were talking a lot about what's it called, GP Vegas?
GP Vegas.
What is
that? So
by the way, you're gonna love this, Des.
Yeah,
I heard all about this.
Oh, you did?
Tell me more.
I think I'm coming.
I'm interested.
If
It's pretty sweet. It's so so in Magic the Gathering specifically, for you guys that don't know, it's a collectible card game. You play it. It's like chess, but with cards, and you're
like
a wizard.
Chess? Like chess, but with cards.
But with cards, and you're a wizard.
And you're a wizard,
so it's nothing, it's nothing at all like chess, is what you're saying.
There's no board movement or pieces. Or
anyway,
it's like it's like chess. What Jimmy meant to say is it's like not a video game.
It's like yeah,
it's like chess.
Exactly like chess if you weren't playing chess at all and you were playing Magic.
It's like chess except poker, and you have to buy $40 worth of cards to get a queen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a face-to-face game. It's an analog game, so you're playing with actual cards. Anyway, there's a big competitive scene, so they have these things.
Oh, so it's like Hearthstone.
Yeah, it actually is very similar to Hearthstone. Yeah, it's true. That's a much better
comparison. So just copied Hearthstone.
So it's like chess, but with Hearthstone. I'm just kidding. So they have these things called Grand Prix, which are just local events in big cities like Antonio or...
Antonio. San Antonio.
Falling apart. Is that our Magic podcast is?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So there's Seattle, New York, et cetera. And they're doing one in Vegas. And the last time it happened, it was the largest single face-to-face gaming event in the history.
Real quick, one of these Grand Prix. It's a lot like an F1 Grand Prix, except no cars and everyone's sitting around.
How large? How many people?
So 4,000 last time, and they're 4, expecting 000. Up to 10,000 this time.
Now, is it only Magic?
Yeah, it's only... It's
and these are... So you're talking about 10,000 Magic competitors.
Yeah.
You think if I brought some Netrunner cards, I would find somebody to play?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you walk into these places, they just essentially set up rows and rows of tables, and a lot of them are numbered so that people are competing know where to go to face off against their opponents. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are just open for people to play friendly matches, and people bring Settlers of Catan every
single
time.
But anything but friendly, yeah. Matt.
It's weird. Settlers of Catan is everywhere. Like, every time
it
I go into,
gaming.
Every time I go into MTG deals, there's always somebody playing Settlers of Catan, and you'd be like... There's a million other games, and people have kind of like cooled on that game. But
it
no,
could
it's
be
just
the
like
intro.
Maybe it's just
it
a magic
first
thing.
Time? I don't know.
Nah, it feels like a magic thing. It feels like in between games of Magic, people just play Catan for whatever reason. I don't know what.
I
it
mean,
is.
If it
because
is...
it's, you know why? Because there's like forests and deserts, and like it's a little bit like the lands in Magic.
I feel like there's too much variance in that game, which is you just lose if you don't die.
It's very
and roll
it's,
dice
it's
correctly.
State based. It's like it's right. Weren't you saying that your econ buddies would like literally look at the beginning?
A lot. If you really know Catan, a lot is settled after the first like part of the game. Like based off of where people place. If you know Catan really well, you can kind of look at the board and be like.
Whereas with a
pretty much you're gonna win unless the dice rolls are ridiculous. Like as long as everybody's playing correctly, you're gonna win.
But what about Risk?
Huh?
Anyone can win at Risk.
We still have that Risk Legacy game.
Only the strong survive.
We still have that Risk Legacy game. This is the Risk Legacy game.
Oh, yeah, holy crap.
Benji's outside.
We started that, what, 3 years ago?
No,
we started
Days
of Risk Legacy.
More like 5 years ago.
You guys want to put something on Twitch. Let's play Risk Legacy.
Hey, I would totally do Risk Legacy on Twitch. But can you do board games on Twitch?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, really?
I thought it was technically... People just play music on Twitch.
I thought it was technically only video games.
Technically, it should be it's game streaming specifically.
Oh, then it holds up. Oh, then the table's totally worth it now, for sure, too.
Yeah, sure thing, Matt. So real
Wait,
quick,
make fun of you. I'm not making fun of you.
But here's why I'm making fun of you, Matt. Because
is this out of context? Have we spoken of this?
Well, we'll get
into
one second. Yeah, we'll get into one second. Yeah. But Matt, it's been purchased. Money has left our coffers to pay for this table. But you still feel the need to justify it to yourself. Yeah. You'll need to justify it more.
Why the guilty conscience?
I'm not guilty. I'm totally I'm super excited. I am ecstatic. I'm going to drive to Seattle and get this table.
I can speak
on
Matt's
behalf.
I'm
just saying it's even better that I'm just excited. It's another reason to be excited. I'm like, that's great.
Go.
We have a nice table for
Matt and I also are both people that like buy a lot of stuff like board games. And people look at this and go, why are you buying so many board games? Like, no, it's worth it.
Like
so
magic,
we're used to being just immediately being like, hey, oh no, it's totally worth it. By the way,
here's the life of F1, by the way. Come home, four packages in the mail. All four of them. Card size for Jimmy.
Yeah, this was
eBay.
Like months ago.
You had like six waiting for you at the office, all magic cards.
No. Well, actually,
that's his job.
You cards for me and Josh to sign, and Josh and I are signing a card. That's one of the packages. And the other one was a package I was trying to mail to Austria for a winner of a contest, and it got mailed back to the office because that's I use.
Here's my favorite thing
the
about guys,
job. He's got commitment.
I got
dedication.
Commitment. I
got
to dedicate, man.
Dude.
Those actually weren't ordered. I could assign someone's card and send it back. It's pretty unique.
Yo, Jimmy, don't need to buy cards anymore. He's he's such a big player.
Yo, right? People just send him. They just baller magically status.
They
appear.
Come on. Magically appear.
Yo, stadium status. They just printed up custom for him, fresh off
the press. Now people want you to sign their magic cards?
There is something that's happening,
Freddy. Does that increase or lower the value of it?
Chinese counterfeits are hitting the market, they're better than ever. Potentially going to ruin the prices on some like cards that are worth like $500 plus.
Because they're like, they can't tell the difference?
Yep.
I thought they added that little metallic thing.
Yeah, but that's only on newer cards.
You think that's going to stop the Chinese?
Couldn't you still play the game with the fake cards?
Hold up, back up.
And that's the whole point. Is
people,
that people
proxy and people print up cards to
it's
play.
Called proxying.
But if you want to play in a tournament, it's like, hey, do you want to play $3,000 to play a game that you have to play for a long time to get
You can't
good
use
at?
Proxies in tournament?
No, absolutely not.
No.
So that's well,
you pay to play,
son.
That's only that. Most other card games you can proxy because it's not their money machine.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, before
what a crazy world that I know nothing about.
Like Terminator, they started evolving and the machines
got better. Yeah, hold up. Yeah, Matt. Like the Chinese like make exact copies of like $10,000 Louis Vuitton purses. Like you think like printing up some cardboard is gonna be any challenge
to
them?
No, it's just about finding the right person in China that was like, oh, we haven't copied this yet. I'm gonna be the first to do it and then going for it.
So you're telling me that I could just start walking around with like, yo, this is my 10 Black Lotus deck. And people would just be like, all right.
And so what's the issue? Because you can just order that card
specifically
rather than getting it out of a pack.
Well, the thing is it's not even a pack, it's a pack from 1996 that literally maybe like five exist in the world that you could open and get a fresh one. And the ones that exist are beat up, dinged up or whatever, or just they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people will like, Wizards made something called the reserved list because they started reprinting some cards and prices started plummeting and people that were like, hey, this is a collectible card game. You can't do that. You're ruining our financial, like,
investments,
in this game.
Guys.
Got it.
Our investments.
I mean, well, it's also like, we're the reason that you can keep making this game is because we're buying your cards. And if you're going to ruin our own financial, like, investments in these cards by
you're ruining
it
my
again,
retirement plan,
then you're
I will not have it, Richard Garfield.
you're disincentivizing us to play. So Wizards made the restricted list, which is like, we'll never reprint these ones again, so you guys can be happy. And then over time, it's turned into this like ticking time bomb.
That's
of, like,
so lame.
These cards just get more and more expensive in this little bubble because you know they're never going to be made again.
Oh no!
So
the magic
Chinese
bubble.
Are just like, this is the one we print.
So what happens when the magic bubble pops? What will be the magic landscape?
It will be,
what will that look like?
It'll be Wizards of the Coast being like, we're just going to reprint the cards because we can't came up with the counterfeit / can't stop them from being created and sold.
Inflation.
So you're saying
yeah,
now
we're
the
talking
time.
Inflation.
Yeah, so they're just going to
the
reprint
Fed's
going to
print new magic cards.
Hyperinflation. Man. You know what happened with hyperinflation?
Weird.
You know what happened with hyperinflation?
That's
last
weird
time?
That magic is its own
called,
economy.
It's its own economy. Called, yeah. There's that's magic nice. Finance
little thing
people.
Called Germany. Little thing called Germany in 1930, hyperinflation. Where do you think that led, Jimmy? Where do you think that's going to happen?
What a comparison.
Huh? The magic Holocaust.
I mean, really, we should be going like this to China, really. It's
wait,
like
so Jimmy,
oh,
talking,
you, China.
You, China.
Wait, so Jimmy,
why wave my
China?
Fist at you?
My people.
Wait, Jimmy, are you going to sell all your investments? All your holdings?
No,
while your extensive diversified
the
holdings
has never
I do
been
have
bigger.
A history of doing this, however, and Freddie can attest to this. I played World of Warcraft obsessively until I got to level 60 and the next expansion was coming out, and I was like, fuck
I'm out.
It.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm going to college. Yo, there'd be ladies
you
in my
you gotta go out on top.
Getting ready,
gotta Jimmy,
go on top.
Buy low,
how much
sell
money
big.
You made? You
sold
you
it
calculated.
For like $600, and I ended up by doing, can you type / played to see how long you played? I ended up being paid like somewhere like 8 to 10 cents an hour for my work.
It was worth it.
It was totally worth it. Absolutely.
Worth
it. I
it's
wasn't
than
in
zero.
The negative. And then I played a card
love,
game.
I
even
love
before that.
That
I always sell off everything I get.
And to be
so,
fair, somebody was like, hey,
point,
I'll pay you every time you play a video game for an hour, I'll pay you 8 cents. It's like, why would you say no to that?
Yeah. Did you know that Jimmy
play a video game anyways?
Did you know that exactly. Jimmy has a much longer history with card
oh, wait, no,
games.
No. Wait a second. How much did you pay for a subscription during that time period, though?
Yeah. Oh, did you factor that in,
oh,
Jimmy?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that wasn't his money. That was mom and dad's.
Yeah, then that doesn't count.
Yeah, basically, I got like $20 a month for allowance. Subscription was 15. Done. I get five
came
Dr.
Out
Peppers.
Ahead.
Woo!
Yeah, every month, five Dr. Peppers
go,
in a
go
month.
Costco get a thing of Hershey's chocolate bars like this big.
It sounds like you're
month.
Winning. Yeah. Sounds like you're totally
I
winning.
Have I ever told you guys stories of our time back in that time period?
Oh, yeah, what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Jimmy would get up and he would like wrap
oh,
himself.
On.
It's like that episode of
no,
South Park.
No, we're getting into it.
Yeah.
No, it was. So Jimmy would get up, he would take his blanket and wrap it around himself like a Middle Eastern like shawl and then plop down on his chair and
so
then it would just start and then go. And then when it was lunchtime, like I would just hear him from upstairs. He'd be like, Freddy, are you going to Subway? I'm like, no, Jimmy, I'm not going to Subway. Freddy, go to Subway! Give me a cold cut trio! It's full long! I was like, no! He's like, Freddy!
Freddie, bring me things.
And then, like, finally, I was like, and so I would.
This happened probably once or twice.
No, it was so often. Like, I was just lunch delivery. And, like, I would go to his door, and he would, like, shuffle over and, like, grab his sandwich and shuffle back and get back into it. But it was so disgusting, dude.
You know what?
Like, your room smelled like Subway and
call?
BO.
Huh?
What was the wake-up call?
Yo, raids, son.
Women in college and just college in general. Like, mm-hmm. the idea that, like, whoa, you don't need to fake online relationships with people and, like...
It's like someone tricked you into going outside one day and you're like, what is this?
Yeah, what is the fuck?
Such
yeah.
sights to behold!
Well, the thing is, we lived, like, 40 minutes south of the high school that I went to, and I just didn't, like, have the initiative when I was, like, 16 to be like, Mom, I'm gonna take the car, I'm gonna go meet my friends in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Like, 30-minute drive at 7 p.m. at night, like, yeah, let's do it. I just never did that, so I didn't really, like, have
you could
an outside social life.
Or a wizard.
Yeah, and I was a fucking wizard.
I mean, that's
wizard,
a tough call.
Harry.
What was your main?
I played a warrior. It was an elf female warrior. I don't know why it was played female, because that game was full of sexist dudes being like, yeah. you're not going to join the raid because you just don't look as cool as this dwarf over here.
No, really?
Yeah, totally.
You got straight up lookismed?
Yeah, I got lookismed.
Yo.
It's a shame.
It's a bummer.
Well, no, now
that explains,
you know,
a lot.
Screw those guys, because now you're running the world's largest magic podcast.
Well, second largest, I think, probably.
Second largest.
Maybe
what's
second
the biggest?
Well, there's one that's run by, like, the head designer of the company called Drive to Work, where he just talks about the game he's built.
On his way to work in the morning?
On his way to work, yeah, because he's been there for the longest
Jimmy,
time.
Are you going to beat it?
Be honest. In your head, are you
got to beat it.
We're going to take that motherfucker down.
We got to take him down, man.
Got to take him down.
Well, yes.
Does he have two podcasts?
No, he doesn't.
Well, so you win.
You already win.
I win.
You know what it is? Yeah. You together. This is the ultimate. You want the ultimate episode? Drive
two
to work
is
greater
is. Than one.
You hear it's like, oh, so you know, just going to talk a little bit more magic, and then you hear Jimmy from the back seat because he snuck into his car from the night before. It's like, yo, motherfucker,
you gotta hijack his cast.
You gotta hijack that cast,
and then never give it back.
Yeah. You just hear screams at a car crash, and you're like, listen to.
Oh wait,
zone.
Wait! What happened in your story? Did you
modern,
Jimmy kill him?
Modern, I think I literally just murdered.
You
just
Jimmy
that.
Killed
what's
him.
What's your other podcast called? It's Command Zone and
the Masters of Modern.
Okay,
which
I was gonna say Modern
friend,
Masters.
Our friends run
the Masters of Modern. That's what you'll do.
Just like that?
Yeah.
I'm such a badass.
Yeah.
Why would I do this?
And police will be like,
"What is it, man?"
I don't know.
Police will be like, "How did this guy die? It appears to be audio evidence of this." Oh, it's two new podcasts I should listen to, and then bam, you got the police force listening too.
Yeah.
That is really fun.
Yeah, Jimmy. And then you're number one.
Then I'm number one, and I won't rest, guys, because I want to break free like Queen did.
Like, I'll be honest, I constantly hope for your failure, because the more you play Magic, the less you play other games with me. So
That's not true. It's
man,
true.
That's
it's
so sad,
true.
Matt. I'm shedding a tear.
He was my board game buddy, and now he just plays Magic all the time.
That's
Jimmy,
not
how
true.
Does that make you feel? Come on, man.
Makes me feel bad because
your friend
Matt
is heartbroken.
Matt and I joined forces in this game called Imperial Assault, where we wanted to drop an AT-ST on some motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We messed up, and we couldn't do it. But the plan was there.
I didn't tell you early enough. You already had plans today.
So my
yes,
favorite
show. You can't have someone on the same day like, "Yo, can you do this night?"
Well,
I'm
no.
So
to be fair, it's because I thought you said you were coming on Tuesday, so I just assumed like, "Oh, Jimmy's gonna be here. Good, he'll play Imperial Assault."
Right. Yeah, that was
you
a good assumption.
Up?
Well, I did actually at 4:30.
Yeah, 4:30.
A.M.
Because super early.
Probably one of the most impressive things in recent memory, Jimmy, one more last thing about Magic.
Here we go.
Was Jimmy was like watching
like talk about it,
a Twitch stream. Well, there's Twitch streams of Magic now, isn't it?
Yeah, Twitch.
Yeah, so that counts.
It's definitely another growing game on, well, they play Magic Online, which
wait,
is
real quick,
probably...
which we should say real quick. The reason why we keep talking about Twitch is because Matt has finally had the revelatory insight that we needed to kind of understand Twitch, which was Twitch is no different than like Twitter. So we should just use it. Like social media.
Yeah, we've been always kind of anti it because we were like, if we do it, like, how are we going to do it differently? Like, we're filmmakers.
But then we realized.
Like, but wait, it's not a film thing. It's a social thing. It's connecting with the audience.
It's not like we're like, yo, I ain't even going to touch. I ain't even going to tweet until I got the best, coolest Twitter ideas. Like, no, I just use Twitter. And so that's how we're going to do it with Twitch. So we're saying that. I'm going to have some fun with that.
Risk Legacy.
But Jimmy. Yeah. So
we're
here's the thing.
Sibling rivalries. It's the best.
The best.
So much blood to be like.
I know.
Just,
it's like me and then two siblings.
Yeah. Like, you're in the best position. We talk about this all the
really?
Time.
Really? Because I've lost every game so far in that
game. You know what we should do?
No,
we should
no,
do
no,
a.
No, you're still
we should
in the best
set
position.
Up for
actually,
the
we could
stream.
Just team up.
We should set up for the stream like a confessional booth. Like off the side, so that
oh, yeah,
they can like so in the middle of the game, it's like, yo, hold up, I gotta talk to
as
my
a matter
bro.
Of fact, when we held the Risk World Championship on our own accord, unsanctioned, of course, we were live streaming. This is like 10 years
no
ago.
Way,
we were live streaming a confessional booth. So after people would go in the confessional booth and try to form factions and alliances and so on and so forth.
That
was
amazing.
Great.
And when Jimmy was watching some Twitch magic stuff, and I was like, Jimmy, how much you know about magic now? He's like, I know quite a bit. I'm like. Could you commentate this? And Jimmy was like, yeah, okay. And then, like, he went. uninterrupted. Just like, he's going to be, you know, tapping his 2-4 set, which means he's going to be playing so-and-so, like, which is a hard counter now for this. But it was nonstop, like Jimmy Strip, ESPN style. So, Jimmy, how come you're not getting hosting gigs to do that?
Can you do it right now? Have you pulled up a Magic game? Can you?
Yeah, reasonably. It just depends on, the format, and it just depends.
So, like, standard, you could.
Yes.
I Legacy, can. You might have an issue.
Yeah. There's this great image of, like, so there's even more into this world. There are, like, five different tiers of, like,
Magic's very complicated,
you can
hard
play
to get
because
into.
This game's been around for 25 years or some odd, like, and they have so many cards that they can be separated into different groups.
And us nerds don't want to not be able to play with the cards we bought 25 years ago. So they find a way to make all the cards you've ever bought still playable, but then also not make it that if you start playing today, you have to buy 25 years
of cards.
Just imagine, based on time. So the cards that are released within like a year period, you can play with those. Mm-hmm. And then there's an even bigger pool for a format called Modern, then Legacy, and then Vintage is like the oldest you can
get. You can play any. There's like no card. Is any card illegal in Vintage?
I think no card is illegal. There might be. No, I don't think so.
There's vintage like limitations. Like you only have one Black Lotus or something.
Has anyone ever done like you can only play cards from one artist, like from the cover art?
People do that. In Commander specifically, they'll be like, I'm only going to do art that has dwarves flexing. And they can make a full deck of cards that just have like that specifically.
What's the card pool now? Like 30,000?
Yeah, something huge. But anyway, there's this great graphic of how differently they all play. Like the one that's the closest to the time shows like kids playing basketball and then goes to college and professional and then all the way to Vintage is straight up Space Jam, arm all the way across the court dunking. Like,
who's the Michael Jordan of Magic?
Well, the way
is that a thing?
Vintage games end in like a turn.
Yeah, they can end in a turn.
Like, that's how ridiculous. Vintage will end, like, if you get the right hand, it's like, I win.
Yeah.
Before the person even gets a turn, it's like they end in like two or three turns. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really
it's stupid.
It's busted. But people really like it because, you know, it requires you to know what's happening really, really in depth.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated
game. Yeah, wait, who is the Michael Jordan?
I'm trying to think.
It's going to be long after the Vegas this year.
Who's.
You know, I will say,
what decks are you playing? Tell us. What level? What decks?
What are you bringing?
Is this going to give away? Or are people going to fight you?
Podcast is literally all about giving away anything that we've learned.
Jimmy, whatever case you have, you just stick a little dry ice in there. So when it comes out to play, you press the button. It's like,
and a little orange, a little like yellow LED, like Fiction.
Can we get John Carman to come with you?
Oh, and to film the event?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
We should.
And, you know, it's Vegas. You're going to have a good time anyway. So. Yeah.
That might be worth it.
You guys just want to go take a big Vegas trip and this can happen
play
on
games?
The side?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Or, you know.
But I think
I've played this game
you,
called
if, only,
craps,
if you, only if you're willing
really
to do stuff like that. Only if you're willing to put on a personality for this Magic tournament.
My own,
right?
Like,
dry ice, WWE style entrance.
Like, Jimmy, you need a hype man just holding
and pyro.
A giant belt. Like behind
but
your
here's
costume.
The, here's, yeah, the, here's the step, here's the step
showmanship.
Up.
Yeah, Wong, showmanship.
Here's the step up. Dry ice, like one Benji's thing. Like, whoa, he got dry ice coming out of it, but then I want your cards just to levitate above the lid. It's like people, they see it lift and dry ice coming out, and then just like your deck of cards just lifts up from like hydraulic plastic.
And then every time you produce a card to play it, it like flames shoot out of your hand, and then it miraculously appears. Yeah.
Just pops up.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Sure. Can I have like a, just to scare all the like the conservative moms, have like a demonic voice come with the cards?
Are all conservative moms watching Magic competitions?
No. Is that a thing?
Okay. Well, back in the day, Magic was one of those, like, you're playing with the devil, boy. So,
hey, whatever character you want to do.
We'll figure something out.
Mm.
Yeah. Carmen, you down?
El Diablo.
Does Carmen still watch these?
Not currently. not live.
I don't think anyone's watching these. Except there's Benji and Alex on the other side of this wall, and that's it.
That's
we're on
great.
Our own here. Yeah.
You could just turn this into the true
confession. We're not even in our own
Like
Jimmy. Like, you got K-pop out.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Just straight, like...
Like, straight up having, like, a monocle and, like a fucking pocket
Wait, what?
Watch.
A monocle?
Straight up K-pop.
A monocle and, like, you need made a out of, like, LED glow stick?
You need, like, a hype man behind you. You
know
what
it
is?
Yeah, just so I can, like, take it straight to the rave.
Yeah,
Vegas.
Exactly.
I'm, like, I'm ready for, like, the full... It's like the Aziz Ansari.
You
have
psych out somebody?
Magic.
You have four decks?
You gotta do the Aziz's character from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Jimmy should have four decks and then just look at that person and be like, hey, you pick my deck. But then they're all the same deck, so it doesn't matter. But, like, when you go to your opponent, put out four deck boxes, be like, hey, pick whatever one you want. Yeah. I'll play these all. And he just takes one. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's just
the funniest. I mean, the funniest thing is if you did it to a tryhard, like someone that's there to, they call them spikes. Like, we're here to win. We're here to play to win.
Why do they call them spikes?
It's just like a personality
There's
type.
There's four personality types. Spikes.
Johnny's, Timmy's, and people that just like the story.
And then Desi's. I and sit Desi's. Back with my arms folded and I just call everyone nerd.
Yeah.
Look at all these nerds.
What's the story,
but secretly,
guys?
I just want to belong and I want to understand what's happening.
I want to play Magic.
I really want to play. Somebody teach me.
Yes. Vorthos is like the name of the guy that likes all the story. And then the other two is like one guy likes doing big combo things. One guy just likes just giant dumb creatures like hitting him in the face. Like, oh, I hit you for 500. Duh! Like, that's Timmy.
But they'll win like 2% of the time. It's just the case of when they get the biggest creature.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, it depends. Like, sometimes it doesn't hurt to be that guy in like a certain like area. Be like, I should do this now because this will guarantee the victory or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so spikes are the guys who are there who are just like
they'll
min-max.
Just be, if you did that, min-max. They'll be like, judge! Like straight hands up, or just sometimes you hear it across like a hall, like you hear someone going like, judge! And you're like, whoa, jeez, like, what?
People are serious, man.
What did that guy do? Yeah. Like, did he tap something wrong? Like, did he?
My
like,
favorite was Craig when he was that, when he was we went to that draft night and he was like, all right, so he wants to go first, and he rolled a d20.
Oh yeah,
and he got like an 18. He's like, all right, you roll. He's like, oh, you use d6s to decide who goes first. He's like, and he just like swatted the D20 away and then rolled. He's like, you can use my dice. Craig's like, like, really? He's like, no, like, it's like, what is it? Do you realize it doesn't matter?
Yeah, specifically, it was a pre-release too, which is like, come welcome.
This was
some
a casual
kids.
Fun it's game. It's not even competitive.
Yeah. Oh, the wrong it's like, dice.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't use the D20 to decide.
Essentially, don't be that person is what we're saying. Don't be that
fun.
Person.
No, that guy sounds miserable. Fun.
Wait, yeah, exactly. Real quick. That guy sounds awesome.
No, it doesn't.
No.
I want
you know, you
don't be that guy.
I want
a
documentary about his whole life.
It would be a pretty boring documentary.
Because he's hurting inside.
He is hurting inside.
He's hurting inside.
He's bound to get catfish, that kind of person.
Or he's not hurting at all. He's just nothing. He's just nothing.
Wait, let me just real quick, Jimmy, just because I'm not familiar with the world of Magic. At GP.
How do you not be?
No,
here's what's the king of Magic.
Specifically this. Specifically this.
You know, that's what this is like.
Hold on. Jimmy hasn't named the Michael Jordan of Magic because he himself is a god amongst mere mortals.
Like,
hold on. What I'm saying is this specifically at GP Vegas.
Yeah.
What is going to be the male female split percentage wise?
Oh, it's probably going to be. It's more. It's better. It's going to be bad. It's going to be like 96-4. Straight up. There's going to be 4% of the female.
Like, there's going to be four girls.
And there's going to be maybe another like 2-3%, maybe that are like just people that are there to support like someone. Like
right.
A girlfriend that's supportive or a wife. But usually in those cases, they both play.
Interesting. Okay.
Your brother is such a renaissance. This would be like if Tom Hiddleston ended up being like the best basketball player alive.
Right?
Like, here we have Jimmy Wong, actor
it's
of our young generation, also being he's going to Magic tournaments.
I'll be 1,000%
podcast producer.
The reason that I like this game so much, and they also say that typically Asians are spikes, because a lot of the game is about
who's they? Racist.
Well,
people.
If you look at
racist,
if you look at
these
a lot
guys
of,
in white hoods tend
I mean,
to say
it wouldn't be something that would be it's like the personality type, which is specifically like I demand self-improvement for myself, and I like will not accept like poor play or not min-maxing. You know, the kind of thing that isn't like, it's not like a deep honor thing. Sometimes it's just like, I'm OCD about this. I have
what
to
you should
min-max.
Do, you should
you
call
know?
Judges
I
on people,
best I can.
But in a complimentary way. You'd be like, judge! You'd be like, this person complimented me very nicely and is looking good today. I just want to acknowledge that officially.
And the
then the guy next to him would be like, judge! He inappropriately called a judge to a table during the game.
And the judge would probably be
out.
A little, judge would be a bitch. Be like, you're disqualified.
Yep.
I find that judges are usually there to have fun, and they're just like, they're like the Jack McBrayers of Magic tournaments, because they like, they're nerding about the rules. They know how interactions work and stuff, and then people are like always angrily calling them over, so they have to be like, it's okay, like, don't worry, like, don't yell, please, don't yell at each other.
Has there been a fight over Magic? Like, have you ever
probably.
Been like, yo,
I'm sure.
Yeah, dude,
thrown at
like,
people.
Gen Con 20, like, the dude threw a car so hard, like, dude was practicing on watermelons, he cut a dude's face open. Like,
maybe.
You straight up gambiting in that
I've
hall.
Heard stories of people throwing stuff at. I mean, but that happens in every game. Like, that'll happen in any
it
kind of
all the time.
Like, risk. Yeah, like, that's a perfect example. Yeah. But back to my original point, the reason I like it so much is because I feel like, and this could be total hyperbole and just a bunch of BS, but I feel like it helps me in a business sense learning, playing a game that demands that you are precise and you are efficient, but also, like, you know, there's a degree of sportsmanship. You know, I feel like it helps me
it's
min-max.
A little bit like chess.
It helps me min-max in my relationships.
Sure.
In the business world.
And wait, let me ask you. Rocket Jump will
keep telling yourself that.
Rocket Jump will personally publish this book if you write Learning Business Through Magic. And preferably is Learning Business Through Magic and Magic, and then it's Freddie and you on cover, and Freddie's got magic cards, yeah. And you have magic cards.
It's a double-sided book. You can flip it over and read front to back or back to front. You guys, your stories meet in the middle. It's like a 36-page pamphlet.
Oh,
I bet
God.
You that would go on Forbes' number one bestseller if you did.
It would,
the Wong Brothers. Digital Kings.
Learning business through magic.
Yeah.
I can see the reviews now. Business Insider, I did not understand anything they said.
It's a bunch
great.
Of gibberish.
Jimmy's chat is like, min-maxing.
That's what I tell myself when I go to sleep at night. So.
Hey, that's, hey, you know.
Oh, you want your
everybody's
free
money?
You
want
your
free money? Making people happy. I do enjoy the instructing people.
If Netrunner tournaments had more people and more money, would you play Netrunner? Or does that not?
Maybe. The game is fun because you bluff.
Hold up.
It's kind of your game.
Jimmy, I got your persona. We got to take a break here real quick, but I have your persona. All right. You wear black trench coat and you go get some Chinese counterfeits. And what you do is you come out and you just make it rain. Like just straight up just like.
Like Chaiyun Fat.
No. Just straight up like you just. Or you have like those card, you know, those card shooters under your sleeves.
Oh,
and you just shoot black lotuses everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I love you.
Yeah. No.
Every time Jimmy pulls out his deck of cards and he needs to tape. A string of condoms to it, so he's always like, "Oh, oops!" Like he's super cool.
He's just like a super.
That's not
super
cool. Yeah, in Vegas,
weird
places.
That's weird.
Okay, so,
Jimmy is creepy.
Oh, it's creepy.
You smoke in Vegas. You should walk around just lighting your cigars with black lotuses.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
That would be incredible.
You light a cigar with a black lotus, then you immediately put your cigar out in a black lotus. That's how I roll.
I'd want to. You reminded me of like the killer Chaiyun Fat status, and I would shoot this card out because this is the. They made Chaiyun Fat into a card and they didn't realize it.
Shuyun.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. It looks like Chaiyun Fat.
That's great. You know,
so
what would make you famous, Jimmy?
Card out,
you should
free
smoke,
copies to everyone.
You should smoke a cigar while you play, and when somebody plays a card down that you don't like, you just put it out in the card. Judge!
Judge!
Oh, man.
And you stare at them without breaking eye contact with the judge. Comes like, what? They're like, nothing.
Right.
So, Maniac. Man. Maniac is the persona you're proposing.
You'd become famous.
I would just be a magic maniac.
Jimmy would be the Michael Jordan of magic. All right, more on that in a little bit.
Probably not.
Quick break
probably
here.
Not.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Hey folks, Mother's Day is just around the corner. Now, before you all go and have heart attacks, know that we here at Rocket Jump have got your back because over at Sherry's Bears, we got a special deal just for our listeners of the Face Rocker podcast. You can get giant chocolate dipped strawberries for your mom or for yourself. You know, like we're not going to make that judgment call, but I'm just giving you a hint right now. This is a great Mother's Day gift. Giant chocolate dipped strawberries, $19.99. That's over 40% off what they normally are. I got the chance to try them. I frankly don't see any other way you should ever have fruit again, unless it is chocolate dip. That's the best way to do it. These strawberries are gigantic. They're succulent. They're huge. Your mom will love them because they combine both fruit, something healthy, and chocolate, something that all moms love. I don't know if that's true. I'm just throwing that out there. I assume that your mom will like it. Anyway, head over to berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone on the top part of the screen and enter promo code FACERocker to get some giant chocolate dip strawberries for $19.99. Head on over to berries.com. Support the podcast. Support the fine folks over at Sherry's Berries. And do something nice for your mom this year.
Welcome back. We've gotten some. Oh, hey!
There's a dog.
There's a dog
table.
Here, just
Kiwi.
Licking faces and hands.
Kiwi, where your face is.
Oh God. So some people have asked us about what's coming up in terms of the world of Rocket Jump, and we're very excited because the next big thing is going to be a trailer for and the launch of announcing the Rocket Jump Film School. I mean, May first is going to be. We're going to do it. We do have a really fun one take trailer. And you know we're doing this film school. We brought in some sponsors. We got Rode microphones, got Samsung cameras. We're shooting on the Samsung NX1, which is this 4K, which is a 4K camera. And we hired
Cherish
Chen,
which is actually Will's girlfriend and trailer producer fiance. Trailer producer extraordinaire.
Will's finance.
I'm kind of pumped for it because we've been talking a lot about it in sort of various meetings. A lot part of the reason why we're at NAB this year was for that. And really, what it kind of comes down to is we are talking about, like, I guess what it comes down to is you can get click-based education, like, how do I do this thing in a program pretty easily. You know, there's a lot of great places that do it. You know, I've always recommended Video Copilot if you're an After Effects nerd.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
To get started on that. But there's not a lot of places where you can get the... You can get the how to do something. You don't get the why to do something. And hopefully we are going to try and focus on that. And try
or
to get
how
into,
we do something.
Or how we do something.
You can only get from the Rocket Jump Film School.
But mm-hmm. we're going to sort of focus on that and sort of talk a lot about how, like, you know, it's like if you have something here, you have a script, and you want to say, okay, why would I want to use this technique? When is a good time to do this? What does this say? Sort of answering all the other questions that you might have when it comes to filmmaking. The analogy that I've used, I don't know if it's a very good analogy, but you got a lot of stuff on the internet that's like, teaching you how to like drive nails into boards and how to use a hammer, but there's not a lot of stuff telling you like, well, how do you use that skill to build a house from it? And hopefully we give you some skills to build a house. That's coming May 1st. So be prepared. And I'm pretty pumped. We're going to cover pretty much every aspect of filming. It's going to be free. It's going to be on our site. You don't have to pay any money for it. It's going to cover everything from directing, producing, a little bit of acting, production design, just every aspect of filming, cinematography.
I think the most exciting part about it is it's the community built aspect of it, which is that we're very much ingrained in it. We're in the videos. We'll be looking at the forums. There's going to be extra credit assignments where you're actually using our footage, and we'll be looking at it. We just even before the Film School launched, we had a small Film School short film showcase. You know, with a bunch of people who submitted and whatnot. To me, that's like the most exciting part about it is that, you know, we want to build a community on Rocket Jump that, you know, we're a part of, that everybody, young filmmakers are finding each other and making cool stuff and learning and everything.
So keep an eye out. We're going to be announcing the channel that all this stuff is going to be on soon. It's going to be all on our site, rocketjump.com. So prepare yourselves. That's on the way. Anyway.
Did you guys mention it was 100% free?
Yes, we mentioned it. Just did.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's incredibly
sweet. Unlike
magic
cards.
It's not free. Pretty sweet, too. But this is really cool. I mean, I'm excited. Jeez, if
not,
I had this...
Not as cool as magic cards.
If I had this resource cool. and I could send in, like, when I was a kid growing up, like...
You would be the number one podcaster.
No, I'm talking... I would totally submit stuff to the Rocket Jump Film School.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be awesome. We're very excited about it.
Good times. We're getting into the summer, so it's a lot of trailers, a lot of stuff coming out
every
online.
Week.
More trailers.
Movie trailer
a lot
city.
Of big yawns.
Yeah. Oh, I know. What just do we kidding. Have? This Fantastic Four. Oh, that.
So
Jurassic
the Jurassic
Park
World.
Let's talk about Jurassic
World.
Was,
yeah.
Oh man, that.
Joseph Kahn nailed it, which is just. What was it exactly?
Joseph Kahn said, "Oh wow, you know, hey, I applaud you guys. You really nailed the look of JP3, which is astute.
It's kind of hard. Where do you like? How do you? You don't do a gritty Jurassic Park reboot, right? You just kind of give the same thing. Like, what's the strategy here?
To me, I was just disappointed by the way that they were hyping up in those other trailers. They didn't show the new dinosaur.
The Indominus Rex.
It just looks exactly like a T-Rex.
It's a T-Rex,
like,
yeah.
Even the T-Rexes in King Kong looked a lot more different. They had, like, cool spikes on its head and stuff.
Strange observation. They do not feature the original T-Rex, or a T-Rex, rather, in that trailer. Is that something they're holding out on for story purposes?
Maybe it ate the T-Rex.
Like it
you know,
the T-Rex
or well, no, because the story is they want to create a new dinosaur to bring more people at the park, bring even more cash in, and they create Indominus
Rex. Which,
by
the way, real quick, let's back up for a second. So the park is running successfully, and they're like, we need more people to come see dinosaurs.
Apparently.
Like even Disney is just like, we'll do one new ride occasionally. Disneyland's
it's
like,
it's a bit of flawed logic.
Yeah. Like, Disney World doesn't have to do
Freddy,
crap.
It makes the movie work, okay? Because Indominus Rex is sweet. Is that what it's called, Indominus?
Just saying. Indominable? Okay, go on, sorry.
Well, here's my Jurassic World JP franchise reboot. You have Tyrannosaurus Rex gets really upset and bummed out that nobody wants to see him anymore. And they're featuring this new Indominus Rex.
Oh, man.
And now you've been relegated to the sidelines, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and
whoa.
Then so you mosey, you know, when everything goes to hell, you're like, fine, I'm not helping anybody. You guys didn't care about me anyway. And so you go hang out on your own part of the island until Chris Pratt goes out with his raptor buddies. And then what you see in the trailer is Indominus can now talk. You got a talking dinosaur that tells the other dinosaurs, you all need to start eating the people. So Chris Pratt loses his well-trained raptor buddies who are now coached by Indominus to turn on the humans. So then Pratt has to go seek out T-Rex, sad, lonely T-Rex, and the two of them have to partner up to take out Indominus.
This is so much better.
Right?
This is way better.
Can we do that? And he has like, and you know, he comes up, there's a scene where it's like he has like a, it's like he's like, the T-Rex is subtitled for some reason. It's
oh,
like,
yeah,
listen,
absolutely.
Man.
It's like, bro, come
I need
on.
Your help. And T-Rex is like, roars. And he's like, look, I know, we've had things. And
wait, who's subtitled? The guy?
No,
both
the
of them.
T-Rex.
Chris Pratt. Yeah, no, that was the Chris Pratt talking. And he says T-Rex just roars.
No, the T-Rex roars.
The response, the response is like, "Leave me be, human."
And it ends with him. Here's how the scene ends.
He's like a god.
It ends with him. It ends with Chris Pratt slyly taking out a T-Rex harness that he's built and like giving a little,
a
little shrug, and then it
like
cuts
Fred Flintstone.
Hard cut to him blowing through the canopy, like riding the T-Rex.
No, he blows through the doors to the park. He bursts back into Jurassic Park, riding a T-Rex.
But it's a heavy metal version of the Jurassic Park
theme. The Megadeth version.
Dinosaurs. The whole story feels like a weirdly, like, whether or not they wanted it to be that, like, just like the absolute commentary on the series itself. It's like, well, nobody fucking cares about dinosaurs anymore.
We gotta make
some
dumb...
need more dinosaurs, I guess.
Yeah,
and hopefully
weird,
they'll
right?
Slowly...
Yeah.
Okay, real so, quick. It's like my third one, no one wants to see Jurassic
Park.
Meta-critique
on rebooting the franchise.
But then the movie's just about that, which just is like, guys, that's boring. That's why nobody
since
wants
we
to
were,
see
by
it.
By the way, since we're going into this a little bit, here's my Jurassic Park reboot version.
Uh-huh.
It would be a almost shot-for-shot recreation of Blackfish, but with dinosaurs instead of orca whales, and it'd be like a documentary set within that world, and then just be like, Jurassic Park went out of business 3 years later amidst controversy about treatment. Like, they released the animals back into Europe in the wild. So
well, here's what I like about that, is that you've switched genres.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Rather than just doing more of the same, which is always seen with cases of sequelitis, you switch up the genre. You can do something different.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Spielberg was trying to do with Lost World.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I mean, he's essentially turned to a Godzilla movie.
Right.
I mean, he's literally said he just wanted to make a Godzilla movie, and that's why it comes to the city.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't...
Matt, what would your...
King Kong.
I wouldn't do it.
Jurassic
like, that's
Park.
The thing. It's like, I know it's not
oh,
great,
come
but it's
on.
Like, I haven't thought... I've thought about it so little... Because I don't
no,
think
right
you
here,
do
off
it
the
again.
Cuff, man. Come on, podcast material.
I mean, I'm bringing it to you. I'm the studio. Hi, Matt Arnold. I'm a studio guy, and you're a filmmaker-y kind of dude. You want to make Jurassic Park? Pitch me an idea.
Come on, hit us
and
up.
And then it's yours.
Here's
you
a Dazzle Planet Studio X.
I'm studio guy, see, with my tie and everything.
This is why I make web series, guys.
That's why we love
make
got, web
got,
series.
You can take our hot Dino property and put it on the web if you got a killer idea.
Matt's really bad at yes-anding this. Jimmy, you're a hot young filmmaker.
Hey, what's up?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Yes.
Yes, hey, Andy.
Pitch
I made
over.
The character.
All right.
I was in the scene, baby.
We hear you have an idea for the new Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh. Do I have one?
Yeah.
It's.
You looked at the yearbook for an answer.
It's my phone. It's my phone. It's going to be a dinosaur that uses phones.
Okay. There's a yes, okay. Right.
He finds it's like we're going small. All right, we don't want the T-Rex here. We want the smallest dinosaurs.
Oh, so you're only focusing on the small
we're
dinosaurs.
We're focusing on the small, and it's set in a house.
Okay,
and these dinosaurs are vicious.
Right. Yeah.
They will gobble you up and pick you like apart to bones. You see them doing it to like the dog and shit beforehand. And you just see it picked
chilling,
clean.
Chilling.
Yeah, and it's just a pile of bones afterwards. That's how voracious these little fuckers are.
Yeah.
And then you just have a house drama, and you get to like use flamethrowers and stuff, makeshift flamethrowers in the house.
Like a home invasion movie.
Home invasion
dinosaurs.
Movie with dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's brilliant.
Fantastic.
Here's $1 billion. Go make that.
You just do a remake of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
With dinosaurs.
That's what you do with dinosaurs. That's what
you
do. And
like,
every kid ends in the most brutally violent death possible.
You know what I would do? I would do a very long extended origin story for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the dinosaur movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
hey,
super.
That's called good crossover.
I like JP Musical. Very much in the vein of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, that would be a huge hit.
What is the end of Charlie and Charlie Factory? He gets the factory.
He goes through the glass ceiling.
So like Hammond shows up again, like the hologram of Hammond.
If you want to view paradise.
Yeah, this guy.
As they're floating over in the Wonkavator.
Yeah. Wait, let's not kid around though. Chris Pratt is a superstar, right? He single-handedly
How did
selling...
that guy just take over the game?
Boom. Two movies. Avengers this. It's done.
Avengers.
Avengers.
Guardians.
Guardians.
G.O.T.
Avengers. It's to me, he's essentially on on the same class as like one of the Avengers. Like you either you could like him way more than Hawkeye, right? Come on.
Yeah, Hawkeye's like
Hawkeye's
awesome.
Excuse me,
exactly.
Hawkeye is by far the coolest.
Hawkeye's
the best character
this
in this movie.
Judge,
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited because Joss Whedon is sweet, and I think Jeremy Renner is also totally sweet. So I think
he was definitely underutilized.
He was just underused. Jimmy Wong,
generally
movie.
Positive dude, and his take on actors.
He was a zombie for most of that movie.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
I just see that this says Loch Ness Monster on GMAPS.
Well, apparently,
what is that about?
Someone sees
I caught up on that a little bit before
years.
The podcast, and apparently the good folks at Google Maps thought it would be fun to attach waterproof cameras to boats, and they street view tracked the entire lake. Okay. So you can now go search the lake for
Nessie.
So
no monster.
Apparently.
I mean...
One of the images is presumably, debatably, Nessie.
A lock.
The lock. A lock. It's definitely a lock.
It's a lock.
I have not yet seen this myself, so.
They definitely put it in there.
I'm
like,
sure.
That would be the best thing. It's like, yeah, we're going to do it. Like,
that'd
oh
be a really
God,
good April Fool's joke,
it.
Right? Like, time that up.
Yeah.
Why not?
I need to go on Street View because I've passed the car twice in the last 2 weeks. I feel like I'm
nice.
I'm all up
Are
in
they
there
taking
now.
Updated
no,
images
No, but
if I tell
they do multiple versions
yeah
of
they
it,
do so multiple versions they'll, so do, they they'll take like three passes
oh do they really
yeah.
to get rid
they
of
know.
All of those
yeah
bozos.
They know. Darn it
there's always like, that there's that weird I don't know why I was thinking about
they're going my 15 minutes
but like
people, actually literally forever
yeah exactly
wait hold on real quick just to talk about Google Matt remind me to hit this but go ahead I have this I just want to talk to somebody
oh no I was just gonna say dude I mean you none of you believe in the Loch Ness Monster right
no. So clearly a fuck
yeah, I believe that something that big could have existed at some point in Earth's history.
I feel like friends when they say stuff like that it's like but Matt it's like why are you picking on those people it's like it's just about believing in something like right like there's like why do you gotta not believe in that
how
I'm like,
believe
and
in,
my thought is like how about, that is how countries fall
yeah.
Like that's the worst it's like are you serious
the message
that's how
of,
people don't vaccine their yeah. kids it's like no it is absolutely wrong to believe
here's what you believe in here's what you believe in right?
I think
how much you
like
believe
the...
in the power of science and vaccines huh?
Yeah
let's believe in that
I feel like people
come on don't compare someone who may have seen something and caught something unexplainable on camera
well
to anti-vaxxers
no, you're right hey no
that's not fair
you're right for like I'll even give them Bigfoot but the lake they've seen every single square inch of that lake.
Yeah, and then
it
also, and
exist.
Also,
sure.
And right. The big one is like is for me is like the big one is XKCD is the best comic of this, which is a graph, which is this number of sightings of weird activity, and it's just like a line that you know, sort of hovers in the middle there, and it's just like amount of cameras available on people, yeah. And it just shoots through the roof.
Exactly.
And it's like no change to that,
right.
Huh? Really? Because if everyone has a camera now, right. You really don't think we have captured a UFO at this point? If they're
no,
real,
they're smarter than that, Freddie.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's so speaking of Google though, did you see that you can now log in and download
your
entire
search
history?
What?
Yes.
Yeah. A new account.
What if you were on
presumably,
incognito?
If you knew your friends,
in incognito mode.
If you knew your friends' login, or if they had left their Google
you
open on their computer, you can download their entire search
history.
Oh,
one of you has been
scary.
Logged in while you're searching.
Well,
let's talk about how terrifying
it
is.
It emails it to you.
Let's talk about how terrifying it is that, of course, Google has been tracking this
well,
since the beginning.
If he's logged in,
you have to,
well, if you're logged in, you would be in their email too.
Yeah, and you have to opt in. And Jimmy, you have to opt in for this. There was a if you had the option back in the day. I think it was a few years ago. Go to opt out of this when it made the rounds, and now they're making it available for you. But have you done it? Have you done
no,
this?
Did you do
I,
it?
No,
I did.
Yeah,
totally clean because I opted out like a motherfucker.
I didn't.
Can you delete it?
If
it exists,
I don't know.
You
can't
delete.
Yeah,
you can't delete
so.
Anything.
It's all there.
It's all there.
Yeah, Google will be like, it's gone.
Trust us.
Just own it.
I don't trust Google. Trust us. What is it? Duck Go or whatever.
You like brunettes, Matt.
What's that?
That secure browser that doesn't record your search history.
I mean, the incognito mode ostensibly does that.
Yeah.
And Firefox, you know, and all that.
All of them.
All of them should. But terrifying. People were talking about like what...
For when you are, you know, buying your wife birthday presents and other things. That's why you use incognito mode, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's when you don't want her...
Wait,
I would use any browser that was just called it porn mode. It's like just
porn mode.
Have you, yeah, that's... Yep. Or I guess you just do it at, I don't know why you'd ever use that. Jimmy, why do you use incognito mode?
Things I don't want other people knowing about.
We screwed up because we invented the game with Jimmy called Defend Your Amazon.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Which is, I load up your Amazon purchases the last like 6 months, and then you have to defend what you bought on Amazon, which is not as creepy as your web search.
Amy Schumer's
but
Amazon
it's pretty funny. But anyway, point is, we'll do that next time you're on, Jimmy, because we need to wrap up.
Games.
But I do want to do something.
Actually, now that I think about it, that's a good way to introduce folks when they're on.
Oh my god!
Here's how you get a little glimpse into who this person is.
We're
going to review your Amazon.
We snuck into your house and found your Amazon history and printed it out, and here it is.
Yeah, we got to wrap up here. But Jimmy, there's something you do at the end of your podcast.
Yeah,
which I think is pretty good.
What do you guys call that?
We call it the. The more you talk about something, the less you end up doing it, which is kind of sad.
Yeah,
I play a lot less.
True.
I'm actually playing tonight, which is great. We do something called the end step, where we just mention has something been on your mind this week? Did you want to mention something in the world? And then you just talk about a book, a movie you saw, whatever. Doesn't have to be related to media as well. It could be like
why don't you
a
kick
nice
us
picture.
Off, Jerry?
It could be. Ex Machina, saw the movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, you saw it?
No, I haven't, but I'm dying to.
But you saw Army of Darkness.
I did. I actually skipped out on Ex Machina to go see Army of Darkness and Darkman with a bunch of friends at the theater. That was a good time. Man, that movie works like gangbusters.
That movie's
great. Army of Darkness.
Oh my gosh. Army of Darkness might be my favorite movie after seeing that again.
Yeah. Ex Machina is great, though. It's like a psychological thriller. It's got all these nice, simple layers of just a very simple premise, and your mind wants to make it more complicated than it actually is, which is great because it's not, and that's the beauty in it. It's very simple, and it's very clean.
All right. I finally finished and caught up to, there's a podcast called The Worst Idea of All Time, which is these two New Zealand guys who just watch, like, the first season was them watching Grown Ups 2 every week for 52 weeks straight, and now they're in the middle of watching Sex and the City 2, which is, like, a worse movie in a lot of ways. So they just started, so I highly recommend that as far as podcast listening goes. Worst Idea of All Time. They're on season 2, and it's hilarious. These guys are really good. It's two guys, Tim Bett and Guy Montgomery.
And
that sounds hilarious.
Oh, they're fantastic. It's such a funny
podcast. I listened to it with Freddie, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you get to hear them right after the movie screening every time, and you don't see the movie, but you infer what everything was, and you hear about the movie, and you're like, this movie sounds insane.
Mm-hmm. It's also just seeing that much in-depth discussion about a single movie. It's like, really, you've never heard people talk that in-depth about a movie before.
Especially that movie.
Something so
and a
irrelevant.
Bad movie.
Yeah.
I'm watching. Everybody should watch Outlander. I feel like nobody's one because Starz is terrible at releasing that, but it's on iTunes now. It's Ronald D. Moore,
Battlestar
Galactica. I like Game of Thrones, but to me, Outlander is kind of my fantasy fix. And it's weird to say on this podcast, but probably the best representation of sex I've seen on TV. And it's just actually a really good.
Your ear is perking up now. Everyone's like, oh, yeah.
It's really good.
But you won't
really
find that in Matt's
intense
history.
Or on your magic podcast.
Yeah, on my podcast either.
It's really good, intense fantasy with great characters. And then it actually treats sex like
intense.
What it is. And it's like, I'll put it this way, the penultimate episode is literally just the two, when 50 Shades of Grey come out, the penultimate episode is just the two main characters having sex three times for 45 minutes. But it's dramatically incredible, it's funny, it's intense, and then it turns into the next episode is nothing but the most fucked up bad guy and torture for 45 minutes. It's a crazy show, it's incredible.
I like Ronald D. Moore, I like Balser a lot.
Yeah, and like the best costumes on TV.
Alright, Dez, finish us off.
All right, 10-minute podcast. I just stumbled upon the 10-minute podcast with Will Sasso and a couple other chaps from they were on Mad TV back in the day. It's absolutely hilarious. Will Sasso should be far more famous than
he
currently
is.
You should go check that out. That's hilarious. And Silicon Valley, the new season is out right now. It is hilarious. For those of you that are curious of what it's like to work at Rocket Jump and some of the things that are happening behind the scenes, Silicon Valley definitely gives you the exaggerated comedic version, a little taste of what it's like around here. Yeah. And then I've been thinking of Bruce Campbell as Ash all week after seeing Army of Darkness. If you haven't seen it, you got to get on that right away. And that's got me thinking about Jurassic Park. And I'm thinking, you could have totally fixed that movie instead of Chris Pratt and his raptor buddies. It's Ash. It's Ash. They bring in Ash from S-Mart to take out all the dinos.
I'd be there. I'd watch that.
Or Star Wars. You could have put him in Star Wars.
I mean, you could put him in anything.
Right? Let him fly the Falcon.
Jimmy?
One last thing. If you guys do play Magic the Gathering and play a format called Commander, that's what our podcast is about. It's also on the Rocket Jump website. We release two episodes a week. It's just like 40, 50 minutes.
Only thing on the website.
It's the only thing on the website, I guess. But the game's great, and I encourage you guys to find out more and follow us and check us out.
If you go to rocketjump.com, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. It's called The Command Zone with myself
All right.
and Josh.
Well, that was another good, fun week. More energy this time.
Jimmy, what's your plug,
everybody.
Your social, buddy? So
at JF Wong on Twitter. At JF Wong on Twitter.
The Twitter's so nice, he had to say it twice.
There we
Twitter.
Go. Well, thanks, everybody. That's Thank you, Jimmy, for stopping by. Benji Dolly, podcast producer, Alex Reeves, Point Blue Studios, Mixed Mastering Engineering. We'll see you guys next
time. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.